Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Kerry Stevenson, and it's that time of the week again. It's Truth Bomb Tony, our fortnightly catch-up on all things you should be doing or not be doing in the market, in your life, in general. Tony Lecantro, Alto Capital, great to have you back on the program. Good to see you, mate. What are we going to talk about today? Oh, market's a bit crappy, I guess.
Well, I think that's an understatement. And I've been, over my 24 years of advising people, I tend to wheel out my pep talk emails. So these are just pretty much on repeat. Just tell everyone to hang in there. It certainly has been a very shitty market. We've seen that with the major indices. And sadly, what's happened in Australia is that interest rate rise has, cued the Benny Hill theme song. It sent people absolutely stark raving mad.
Because the fundamentals haven't changed. And markets can have a wobble, but if people panic, and you've said this before, Tony, you know, you've got to be calm. I mean, if you put your money into a company, nothing's changed with the company, what are you panicking about?
Well, I think it extends. I've mentioned that Sydney house prices will halve. We're on the way to that now, sadly. That interest rate rise has really killed sentiment. And it's probably had a much bigger impact than I would have thought. And if you look around Twitter, all the number of price reductions, they're in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, and people can't find a buyer. So we've got that to worry about. We've got families now worrying about how to put food on the table. You know, do they go from Scotch fillet down to three-star mints? It's really getting ugly, and I just don't see any positives emerging apart from cheaper asset prices.
Well, but, go on.
But there's so much value in the small cap area, and I think that next month some of these stocks are even going to be much better value. And I liken that to buying beachfront property in Sydney 20 years ago. And I'm happy to tell viewers about what I'm doing, my way of thinking, as to where the money is going to be made. But anyway, before I rudely interrupted you, Kerry.
That's all right. I could hear a butt coming, so I thought I'd zip my mouth for once. Do you think the panic is overplayed, though? I mean, you're saying that, you know, house prices are going to halve and all this sort of stuff. A lot of it is mainstream media feeding the frenzy and feeding the panic. I mean, is there any reason really for people to panic?
Well, if you can afford your repayments, if you've sandbagged your family's finances, if you're not forced to sell, it'd be like being a forced seller in some of these biotech stocks at the moment. The prices are horrendous, but if you're forced to sell an overpriced asset, then you're going to have issues competing. So I think the key when panicking, Kerry, is to panic first. And what I've done on Gumtree, I like to clean out all my assets on Gumtree, or I've had to sell concert tickets. But what I do, I'm quite brutal with how I price things to sell. If I'm going to sell something, I do it to knock out the other sellers. And sadly, I just think we're on the way down and we're going to see some desperate measures. So I think the mainstream press, in relation to property, I think Chris Joy's article is spot on, which was in the AFR. He's calling between 15 and 25% down. And Chris probably has called this housing market better than anyone, and certainly a lot better than me, Kerry. So I reckon people should hunt that down, because it's this aspect, this side of the economy, that's going to impact pretty much everything, and it might even flow through to some of the specs.
Well, I think it already has gone through to some of the specs. I can't put my teeth back in today, Tony. I think it has gone through to some of the specs at the moment because the market is very wobbly. And I look at it as, you know, walking into the department store with shoes on sale, happy days, but only if you've been sensible and kept some cash on the side.
Very few people can buy during these markets. I've dealt with thousands of people as an advisor. I've learnt their fear, greed, and stupidity, and not many have the balls to go in and buy in the markets we're in at the moment. So cash on the sidelines, yep, I'll go in and scoop up bargains. It is near impossible to do that when you see a stock price getting poleaxed, buyers retreat, and here's your chance to buy the stock. I mean, can you imagine walking down to Manly Beach and there's a brown tinge on the foamy ocean? It doesn't look that inviting. And sadly, when the ASX throws up its greatest bargains, it doesn't look that inviting. Charts look terrible. Everyone thinks commodity prices are going to zero. A treatment for a disease isn't going to work. Unfortunately, negativity begets negativity. True. I've been buying all the way down.
Yep.
Some of these buy techs, I've bought every price step down. It's become an expensive hobby for me. And I've actually been buying some stocks on the way up as well. So for me, over my experience dealing with these markets, watching 1,000-point down nights on the Dow, I know exactly what I'm going to see on the screen. And you've got to look at it. Every stock is like a little economy. You know, you've got about 400 people that own that stock. When the Dow drops 1,000, 40 or 50 could get shaken out of that stock. If the Dow only drops 700, they're probably holding a long-term winner. So the psychology of this market is fascinating, and it's taken me a long time to work it out. There was an example a couple of days ago, Kerry, my favourite mining stock, Maronan. There was a large massive buyer that bid for 260,000 shares. It was a crappy day on the market, so there was sellers thought, oh, I better get out. So they all lined up, and his buy order was matched. And that's the psychology that these people saw someone looking to buy their stock at a profit. So sadly, that overrode the wonderful fundamentals, and they sold, probably never to return. And who knows, that thing could go multiple times. So that is smart buying, and that will suck in the selling. But you know, this market, it's every person for themselves. There's not many friends when it comes to money, but yeah, the psychology of the last couple of weeks has just been fascinating. And I find it, you know, even though it's some spreadsheet damage, I quite find it quite enjoyable.
Oh, that's interesting. I don't find it enjoyable. But what do you think the catalyst was for it to happen in the last couple of weeks? Can't just be the interest rate rise here in Australia. It's got to be a bigger picture. What do you think, Tony? And alongside of that, do you think this is a long-term downturn in the market or a shorter blip? And we'll be back to the races soon. I say that flippantly.
Well, yeah. It's all to do with inflation. The only way to curb inflation is to lift interest rates, and quickly. Interest rates are going a lot higher than anyone in this country expects. This BS from the RBA, there'll be no interest rate rises before 2024. Well, wrong. How many people that suck it into buying overpriced assets? I mean, that's horrible, but you know, there are fears that interest rates in this country are going to have to keep going up, and very quickly. Same with the US, and that is not good for the stock market. Hopefully the Dow now is around 31,600. Let's get the bloody thing below 30,000 and get it over and done with. But I think that for the major indices, I think we're going to be in a decent bear market now. And that's not to say that there's going to be heaps of opportunities. Individual companies are still going to get on with it. But for the first time in a long time, I don't think we're going to see too many bandwagons at all. So there's not going to be anything ending in IUM where people can jump on and make money. I think the days of the bandwagon, we probably need a break from bandwagons, to be honest.
And by bandwagon, you mean everybody jumping into something like lithium or rare earths or any of those?
Yeah, lithium, uranium, rare earths, kryptonite, imodium, all of those commodities. But look, every bubble, there are real companies that emerge from it. And this goes back to .com. But a lot of these other companies that put in a lithium project on the moon, they're just there to make money for themselves and to raise money. But, you know, shareholders aren't going to see a brass razzo. So, look, there's all these mega trends. I think the EV thematic will continue, but BHP have come out and stated that they're steering well clear of lithium. They don't want to join the race because I think it's peaked, and that has affected sentiment.
Wow, that's pretty interesting, actually. But there's still a demand, supply-demand gap. It's still there. There's still issues. People can start panicking all they like, but, you know, you want to go down the EV thematic that, you know, there's still an issue with supply, and that goes across nickel and copper and various commodities. So yeah, I'm just wondering whether you think that I know you don't particularly like lithium, but there is a supply-demand gap there, like it or not, and people are going to have to buy electric vehicles.
I agree totally. And I should make it clear that I was involved in the first lithium bubble here way back in 2008. So 2008, we had two stocks. It was Galaxy and Orocobre.
That's right.
So Orocobre was a lithium brine stock. And that went apeshit 14 years ago. So since then, there has been some good performances. As you know, Kidman were looking for gold, found lithium, got taken over by Wesfarmers. But my only fear is that the sector crashed in 2018. It's bounced back brilliantly, but not every company is going to get into production. And once the sentiment wears off, these things correct pretty quickly. So,
I hear where you're coming from. You talked a moment ago about interest rate rises coming, you know, going up and up. Up, up and away. I've just got a view that potentially if governments start to see that their raising rates is not helping, in fact, it's damaging, that they might do what they've done in the past and flip it back to being down to almost zero again. Can you see that happening?
Well, for the sake of my 5-year fixed mortgage, yes. But I don't think I'm going to be so lucky. I just think that if the RBA's got it completely wrong, if they can lift rates in a way that doesn't do too much damage, it tempers inflation, it would be a successful mission. But the problem we have is a rampant eastern states property bubble that's going to burst. But then at what point do they stop lifting rates? Do they try and protect the economy? So I think the RBA is certainly, they're behind the eight ball on this one, and I don't think there's any way out other than to lift rates. But I've always said, and people call me crazy, that interest rates eventually will normalise.
Yeah.
And sadly, this is where we're heading. And the average RBA cash rate is 6.5%, and the average mortgage rate is 9.4%. Let's hope that we don't get there, because that's going to wipe out a lot of people with mortgages. But, you know, we're on that slow path to becoming normalised, and this 0.1 interest rate for so long, I think it's honestly, it's done more damage, Kerry.
Oh, I agree that it's done a lot of damage. I agree it's done, they're in between a rock and a hard place. You know, do they raise rates to curb inflation, or do they pull them down to get us out of recession? What do they do? It's the bad or the badder, if you like. What's Tony Lecantro doing to, apart from buying the dip, do you prefer commodities to tech stocks? Do you like biotech? Do you like them all?
I'm of the view that in June, the tax loss selling for biotech stocks is going to be brutal.
Oh.
I'm expecting a number of my favourite stocks to get hit. Yeah, it's like stepping in the ring with Tyson Fury and you get smashed. You're on the canvas and you lift your head up and then you get smashed again. So to me, those biotech bargains next month are going to be outstanding. My targets to buy are Narada, Radiopharm, Chimeric, Exapharm, and Adalta. I actually had the pleasure of meeting Paul Hopper in Perth on Monday. He's one of the best biotrepreneurs in the country. And, yeah, he's hurting like the rest of us, but, you know, these companies are real. So, yeah, we've got funds waiting for that event. If not, I'm lightly buying into some of these biotech stocks just in case there's some transformational news in the meantime. And one of the ongoing ways to make a lot of money on the market is through exploration.
Yep.
There was a discovery from Galileo, GAL, which is one of Mark Creasy's companies.
Oh, right.
Went from 20 cents, hit 70, big platinum palladium hit in WA. And that's kind of sparked up some activity in the sector. But I get back to questioning myself as to what are the best exploration stories on the ASX. And for mine, they are Pac Gold, PGO.
Yeah, we like Pac Gold, run by Tony Schreck, who's a very smart operator.
And he'll be at your gold conference.
Yes, he will.
Yes, so on the 14th, 15th of June. So we've been buying Pac Gold. The Morona Metals IPO I helped with, MMA, I believe that is one of the best exploration stories on the ASX.
Okay, why? I want to know why you're picking that one out of all the stocks out there, because there's lots. Why has that one got your attention so much? Because you talk Pac Gold and you talk some others, but Moronan, you've been going on a bit about this for a while. So I want to know, and so do my viewers, why you think that's the best one on the ASX at the moment.
Well, I'll be straight up with you. It hit 38 cents today, which is not a 90% premium in 2 weeks. Thankfully, we closed at 35.5. I don't want this thing getting away. I want to be able to put every client into this stock. Why do I like it? Because they have an existing resource, 30 million tonnes of lead and silver. Then they have an 11.6 million tonne resource of copper and gold. And the belief is that this, if this extends at depth, we could have a mini Cannington on our hands, which is, Cannington supplies about 6% of the world's silver.
So
this could, yeah, this could turn into quite a sizable deposit. And there was a video from the Crescat Capital guys where Quentin Henning was talking about Moronan. And Quentin's, I don't know if this is entirely true, but he looked to get Eric Sprott involved in Fosterville. And Quentin's a bit of a rock star geologist. And he was saying that if this thing extends at depth, there's many multiples in it. So, I've pretty much put a fair chunk of my career on this one, and we're probably only a couple of months off drilling, Kerry, but I believe that that company is cheap on the existing resource. And it was, I think the IPO valuation was too cheap and just in the favour of shareholders. So that's why we liked it so much. We bought about 16% of the company.
Wow. Okay, that's a fair chunk. Do you think we'll see, you know, Pac Gold, MMA, they're doing okay. Will they be smashed, or do you think that there's some that are going to sit outside the turmoil of the markets?
Well, you've got to look at it that a lot of the shareholders in their stocks are believers. They're kind of niche stocks. They're not your ASX cult stocks where, you know, people start picking the sites for the $5 share price parties or buying Teslas. So these stocks, it's harder for people to get shaken out by a crappy night on the Dow, but they're always going to be prone to selling pressure because the tightly held stocks are going to have atrocious market depths. I mean, I remember looking at a little stock called Dominion Mining. It was about 28 cents, and they looked as though they were going broke all the way over $6. So, you know, a lot of these stocks, yeah, they just look terrible. Then charters don't want to touch them. But as we've seen with the likes of Galileo, you can still have a crappy market depth and valuation, but that all changes with one drill hole. And from my experience, that goes way back in 2001 when Minotaur Gold found Prominent Hill, which is they actually drilled into that project, which was called Uranus. And obviously they had to change the name.
Because I'm sorry, stopped there.
There was 100 metres at 3% copper, but they named it after planets. So every major discovery I've been involved with has occurred at a crappy market, and that goes back to Sirius. That was a crap market in 2012. DeGrussa, another crap market. So
Maybe this crappy market is going to throw up a few opportunities and a few discoveries, because they're not going to stop working, are they? A lot of these companies are still out there looking for discoveries and looking for the next copper discovery, the next gold discovery. Have you been following Stavely at all at the moment with Chris Cairns?
What a fantastic stock. And I have the best four emerging mining companies in Australia, and Stavely is on that list.
Is that right?
Yeah.
There are people out there that won't know Stavely. Stavely is copper gold down there in Victoria. Why do you like it so? I mean, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I threw that at him totally cold, having no idea whether he liked it or didn't like it, just in case you thought that we'd set this up. Nope. Why do you like it?
Well, this is always unscripted. We just wing it, don't we,
Kerry? We do. We totally wing it.
Yeah. Well, I met Chris Cairns in December 2004.
Yep.
And we got heavily involved in Integra, which was they made two gold discoveries, Integra. The stock 10-bagged, then gave it all back in the GFC, then it went again. So I got to know that Chris is a great operator. I then helped him do some of the IPO for Stavely, and I've raised him money. The last major raise was about 38 cents, and just before they found the 40% copper, we raised him some money at 15 cents. So this stock has already at one point 10 bag for clients. But why I like it is because of the Cayley load. It looks like a multi-year copper operation in Victoria, and they're looking for the deep prize at Thursday's Gossan. So Chris has always put out some very good drilling results. I think the market just got tired of having such good news. And this is And this is the kind of stock where people think, well, they're always going to have to raise money, and people are a bit apprehensive to buy it. But if you look for a 20-year plus copper operation in a safe jurisdiction with good grades and potential, I think, you know, at some point the majors are surely got to be interested in it. But, you know, it's one area, you know, so our relationship with Chris Cairns goes back about 18 years or both my marriages, I guess. So, yeah, I've got faith in Chris and the team.
That's why we love him, don't we, ladies and gentlemen, because it's just he comes out with these absolute crackers. Righto, we're coming up to time. Tony, what do you think people should be doing? Biotech, commodities, tech. Tell me what your top three are.
Listen and do some research on the best biotech stocks and have your buy orders ready for next month. I think that's going to be some of the best buying we're going to see in the small cap space. Stick to the exploration stories that can deliver multiple returns, and look at my four best emerging mining companies on the ASX, which are Stavely, Far East Gold, which sadly has doubled. I wish that was a bit cheaper, Kerry, so more people could buy it.
Yeah.
Eagle Mountain Mining, under 30 cents, is an insult to Charlie Bass and the mining industry.
Yeah.
They will build a real copper company in Arizona. They just raised at 45 cents. Then you can now buy them for 29.
Wow.
I know. It's just once you get in that downtrend, it's hard to shake it. But I'm telling my clients to buy it with money they don't need tomorrow. And obviously my fourth best emerging mining company in Australia is Morona Metals, code MMA.
Yeah.
So I think that's, you know, it's probably a good rhythm section to build a speculative portfolio, throw in a bit of biotech, and happy days, I think, in a couple of years.
Yeah, and that's the key, ladies and gentlemen. As he just said, in a couple of years, those of you that go and look at your share portfolio on a daily basis and freak out because it's not going up, up and away like it has done for the past couple of years. If you're buying solid stocks like what Tony's just mentioned, and by the way, as he said as well, you've got to do your own research because that's very, very important. And only invest, sensibly in these markets because they are very volatile. But as Tony said, a couple of years, it's not a couple of months, might not be this year, but you've got to be patient. And Tony, what do you think about people and patience in this market?
I think the advent of mobile phones and cryptocurrencies and NFTs and punting anything has turned us into a nation of even worse punters. And a lot of people couldn't even wait for their 2-minute noodles to cook in 5 minutes. I think, you need to step back and realize that it's about investing. And I think that the markets are starting to normalize and you just can't make money on fugazis anymore. So we've got to get real, Kerry. That's the motto.
Got to get real. And if you want to get a hold of Tony, you can get a hold of him at tony@altocapital.com.au. Is that correct, Tony?
Absolutely.
Got it in one. So if you'd like to get some information from Tony, you can always send him an email. He does get back to you. He's pretty good at getting back to you, but he is a busy guy. Tony Lecanto, Alto Capital, thanks for joining me on Small Caps today.
Always a pleasure, and see you in a fortnight.